How much does Joshua Briscoe talk about Patrick Mahomes?
What, do you want me to talk about Patrick Mahomes more? Because I will. I'll do it. I'm crazy. I'll do it.
Almost entirely.
I've carried this Patrick Mahomes hype for a full-term pregnancy. I want to birth it into the world.
This is Almost Entirely Mahomes with Joshua Briscoe.
Patrick Mahomes is Aaron Rodgers.
On 1510 AM, 99.3 FM, and 1510.com.
Where it sounds like I said the phrase, Patrick Mahomes is Aaron Rodgers. I actually said that Patrick Mahomes is better than Aaron Rodgers.
Keep up with the show on Twitter at JB Briscoe.
Pat Mahomes is Russell Wilson, but better. Mark it.
On ESPN Kansas City.
Oh, I'm so excited. You know what? No. I can't just talk. I have a song in my heart. I have a song in my heart that needs to make its way out. Beards, I need you to get rid of the music. We have to do this a cappella. Me, 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 me. Mahomes, Mahomes on the range, where they allow some deep plays, where seldom is seen a check down or a screen, and you can win more than one playoff game. Mahomes! Okay, no, I'll do the show.
Encore! Encore!
No, another verse!
Encore!
I don't have another verse, I just have the one.
It was beautiful, though.
How are you feeling? I feel good. I'm excited about today. I was excited. Yesterday was a good time. And yes, I do have a Patrick Mahomes based song in my heart that I have now shared with you. That is an original, by the way. That is Mahomes on the Range. But you know what? Today isn't really about Patrick Mahomes. Did he just say that? Yes, he did! Really, today's not really about Patrick Mahomes. Today is about crowning a king. This whole offseason is going to be about Patrick Mahomes. Tomorrow's show might be about Patrick Mahomes. Today's show, though, is a coronation. King Brett Veach! Brett Veach freed up $17 million!
Mahomes.
He freed up the path for Patrick Mahomes!
Mahomes.
He brought in a top two slot corner in football!
Mahomes.
Who is 22 years old!
Mahomes.
And on his rookie deal.
Mahomes. You can turn the music down a little bit, Beards. It's a little loud. Thank you.
I'm excited.
And a third round pick.
Mahomes.
And the Chiefs are out of their cap hell.
Mahomes.
And they filled one of their biggest defensive holes.
Mahomes.
With a guy who had the second most pass breakups in 2017.
Mahomes.
Who is also apparently a wizard because he starts breaking on wide receivers' routes before they actually break out of them.
Mahomes.
I was at the plaza yesterday.
Mahomes.
I was at the plaza yesterday.
Mahomes. I've been shushed.
I was at the plaza yesterday.
Mahomes. Trying to stand a statue of Brett Veach.
Mahomes.
In one of the fountains.
Mahomes.
But I couldn't do it myself.
Mahomes!
So after the show today, we can all go do that together.
Mahomes.
King Brett Veach.
Mahomes.
Mahomes. Is that all we have? Are we out of Mahomes's?
I mean, I've used them all like three times.
That's
now.
Good. We can wrap up the Mahomes. We can wrap up the music bit. Also, as a radio station with back-to-back radio stations, shouldn't we have better soundproofing?
You'd think.
I feel like I wasn't being that aggressively loud. I feel like I was being pretty normally loud.
Charlie says he could hear you from two studios down.
I'm also very excited. Sorry if the radio show that we're doing down here was problematic.
Should I go shush Kevin now?
I wish you would. I wish you would just go over there and do what Danny just did, which is put both of your hands up and go shh while waving your hands down and see what Kevin does. He'll fire you is what will happen. So don't do that, Charlie. No, don't do that. So in case you missed, the Chiefs traded Alex Smith.
What?
Shh. Not so loud, Beards. You might wake someone. What did you say, Charlie?
The Chiefs traded Alex Smith? What?
Yeah, it's on Twitter. Breaking news. Tress Paylor just broke it. There are 50,000 different ways that you can look into the trade that the Chiefs made yesterday. We will have the Pat Mahomes angle, and we'll have the Brett Veach angle, and we'll talk about Alex Smith. But I think you have to start with what the Chiefs got in return. Because I would not have come in here with this much joy in my heart, with this song in my soul, simply because the Chiefs traded away Alex Smith. I'm glad that that era is over because I think a brighter one is coming. But it's not out of angst towards Alex Smith. It's for excitement of the next era. But what the Chiefs got in return is worthy of a second song. I'm not actually going to sing again. Because I don't want to be shushed. So as the reports last night started rolling out, the Chiefs had made a trade with Washington to send Alex Smith to D.C. As those reports started rolling out, I started making some assumptions. And gosh darn it, sometimes my assumptions are decent. That is also the strongest statement I can make about any of my assumptions. But I expected that for the Chiefs to have made this move so early on in the not even off season, to have made this move in January, they would have had to have gotten something that they were very happy to get in return for Alex Smith. And also, in retrospect, after hearing some of the things that I'll tell you about here in just a second, I do think that they wanted to send Smith somewhere where he would get an extension, partially for his sake, to give Alex Smith a stable place to finish his career, but also partially for their own sake, because whenever they found out that they could send him to Washington, a team that was going to give him a massive contract extension.
Very quickly as well.
Well, that was part of it. It was going to be part of the deal, and that makes sense. But whenever they found out that Washington was going to give him that massive contract extension, all of a sudden, Alex Smith's trade price went from being a stopgap for a young guy to being viewed as the man in Washington, which is good for the Chiefs because that price goes up. Also, last night before we figured it all out, I was expecting the Chiefs to get a defensive player on the younger side, and what they ended up getting was a young, cheap, extremely high-performing, and still-rising cornerback, which is just about all you could ask for. So the Chiefs end up trading Alex Smith to Washington for a third-round pick and cornerback Kendall Fuller. Now, if you are just sort of popping up now and you haven't been just mainlining Kendall Fuller for the last, 12, 16 hours or so, you may ask, who is Kendall Fuller? And I will explain very soon. But first, Benjamin Albright reported that the Broncos actually did offer Aqib Talib and a second-round pick. He's the only person that I've seen report that recently. But since the trades went through. But that is a haul. Mary Kay Cabot of Cleveland.com reported that the Browns were offering a second round pick, which would have been at the very top of the second round. I think their two picks are both all the way up there.
But the Browns weren't willing to sign Alex Smith to the monster deal that Washington ended up giving him. Those are both very solid deals. I would have been excited about Aqib Talib in a second, even if that meant sending Alex Smith to Denver. And I would have been happy with a very high second-round pick for Brett Veach and company to work with. But I think the Chiefs ended up with the best available deal. Why would I say that? I must think pretty highly of Kendall Fuller, mustn't I?
Why would you say that? You must think highly of Kendall Fuller, mustn't
you?
Oh,
but I do. Oh, I do. Here's why the Chiefs pulled the trigger on trading away Alex Smith on January 30th. Kendall Fuller is a 22-year-old cornerback with two more years left on his rookie deal. Pro Football Focus had him as the number 6 cornerback in the NFL last year. Grade of 90. I believe he's also the top graded Washington football player for all of last season. At least defensively. Pro Football Focus had him as their number 2 slot cornerback. Bleacher Report scouts had him as the best slot defender in football last year. Pro Football Focus says that when Kendall Fuller lined up in the slot, he allowed a passer rating of 55.0. That was the best for all slot cornerbacks last year. Steven Nelson and Philip Gaines both allowed passer ratings of above 100 when in the slot. Also, Kendall Fuller allowing that 55 passer rating when covering the slot was the lowest mark in all of football, which I already said, but now I've said it in two different ways, in case you missed it. That's the best. Adam Schefter tweeted that the Chiefs view Fuller as a bona fide starter to go along with the third round pick they're getting. Sam Mellinger tweeted, and I quote verbatim, "Holy balls. One of the league's best slot corners, a third round pick, and $16 million-ish in cap space. Fuller's still on his rookie deal. The Chiefs got a lot better today. Can't tell Veach nothing right now." This is where I end up. Also, Ian Wharton, who does some really good scouting work, says that Fuller was one of the most productive slots with 6 pass breakups and 3 interceptions. He allowed just 33% of targets to be completed in man, best in the league with over 30 targets. Only 156 yards surrendered, which was 16th, despite being targeted the second most in the slot in the league. This is a day one starter. A day one, right out of the gate, starter and a third round pick for a guy that, it depending on which rumblings you read, might not have even been on the trading block going into yesterday. In fairness, rumblings are bad. But there was some speculation about what Alex Smith could bring you, and some doubt. The Chiefs add a third-round pick in a year where they're going to want to be trying to continue to acquire young, cheap talent through the draft, ideally. And they bring in a 22-year-old corner that was fantastic last year. If I wanted to create a reason to be skeptical about what Fuller's bringing to the table, you could at least say, well, this doesn't really solve the problem of the guy opposite Marcus Peters. This just fixes the slot. And I would say, not so fast. Terrence Paylor talked about this first on one of the Kansas City Stars A-Team Facebook Live videos last night. And man, I felt, I was nerding out about this so hard, man. I watched. It was Therese and Mellinger and Vahe and Blair Kirkhoff, I think. Yeah, I think that was the full list. And they were just like on a conference call, basically. And I just sat there and listened to the whole thing live for an hour straight, just absolutely mainlining this whole trade just as much as possible. So Therese mentioned this on that video last night, but this also confirmed my initial hunch. And the more that I've watched of Fuller over the last 12 hours or so, has made me think this is a very real possibility. In fact, this is what I'll predict. I think Fuller starts opposite Peters in the base defense. And then this is what Therese mentioned. Then he would move into the slot in the nickel, and Steven Nelson or someone else ends up in that other outside spot after Fuller moves in. I think that creates a pretty solid secondary. Bring back Eric Berry. By the way, a new report just came out. I think it was Rappaport. I can't remember who it was. Someone had tweeted that Eric Berry is looking great in rehab, which has got to be the least surprising thing of all time. He gained weight while on chemo. That doesn't happen. You don't do that unless you're a cyborg. So, worst case scenario is that the Chiefs just cleared themselves out of their cap hell, opened the way for Pat Mahomes, added a third round pick, and added at least someone who is going to fix one of their most problematic positions last year for the next 2 years for like no money. I already forgot if I read the... Yeah, I did read the Philip Gaines and Steven Nelson stat already. Nelson was supposed to be the slot guy for this team, and he's just... I liked a lot of things that I saw from Steven Nelson, but his overall numbers by the end of the year were atrocious. Philip Gaines was always bad. Again, Nelson and Gaines both allowed passer ratings above 100 when in the slot last year. You are replacing liabilities with elite, young, cheap, rising talent. You can't do better than that. You can't do better than 22 years old, severely underpaid, performing at a very high level. Also, that could be the slogan for this show, except for I'm 23 now. Hello. Brooch. And so that is the pessimistic place. And at 5, we'll talk to Seth Kaiser, who did a huge film review last night and wrote it up on Arrowhead Pride. We'll talk to him in 40 minutes from now. But from what I've seen from Fuller, what I heard Therese say, what I read in Seth's article, I think there's actually even a better case scenario from this trade last night. And it's that the Chiefs have a corner that is going to make passing on them a joke. We saw, and this is partially to the fault of Bob Sutton, but we saw a deeply struggling secondary after Eric Berry got hurt, partially because the slot corner position can be an amalgamation of a lot of things. And so you might, by the way you're set up, you might say that your slot guy is going to end up covering Rob Gronkowski. And if that's the case, you're going to lose. You're going to lose badly. That's why the Patriots beat most teams with the help of Rob Gronkowski. But if Eric Berry is covering Rob Gronkowski, and you've got Peters on one side, Fuller on the other, you've got plenty of room to work there. I think the Chiefs also could look into drafting a safety relatively high this year, maybe with this pick they just got from Washington. They're going to continue to invest more and more in the defense, which again, I think is, at least in part, a bad, bad look for Bob Sutton. Because he's going to keep having money and talent absolutely poured into his side of the ball. And it hasn't performed at nearly that level recently. But I'm going to try not to make today about Bob Sutton because I'll get sad. And today's a happy day. So I think even with the reports that the Browns were going to give up the whatever 34th or 35th, 36th pick, something in that area. Even with the report that the Broncos were seriously offering Aqib Talib and a second round pick, I think the Chiefs had the best possible deal. They took the best possible deal. And I think this says extremely, extremely good things about Brett Veach. And this is something that makes me feel like I'm on the right track. Sometimes, you know, I don't know if you know this. I'm guessing most radio people and journalists and columnists and stuff aren't terribly upfront about this. Sometimes things happen and we just have to kind of react. But sometimes I see things happen and moves get made that I was thinking about or I was philosophically on board with before someone else made the move. And it makes you feel good. It makes you feel like you're actually figuring something out. I didn't know much about Kendall Fuller specifically yesterday before this trade. I've learned a lot about him in the last 12 hours. But I was saying before the draft, the Chiefs should trade up and go get Pat Mahomes. Makes you feel pretty good. Like, aha. My idea wasn't dumb because the Chiefs did it. Well, that's not always been true, I guess. But, you know, still, aha. But with this trading away of Alex Smith and the piece they've gotten in Kendall Fuller and the moves that are going to be made throughout the rest of this offseason, I'm feeling very, very confident in Brett Veach. Because I think he is a man of a philosophy that I've been touting for a pretty solid long while. What's that strategy, you may ask?
What's that strategy?
Come back in about 4 minutes and I'll tell you.
This is Almost Entirely Sports with Joshua Briscoe.
So I was just, you know, I was doing what I used to do in my free time, which was thinking about Patrick Mahomes.
On 1510 AM, 99.3 FM, and 1510.com.
Welcome back into Almost Entirely Sports here on ESPN Kansas City. If this is a new time for you finding the show because you are just a sponge soaking up all of this good Chiefs drama, you can follow me on Twitter at JB Briscoe. Also, more importantly, we have this show from 4 to 6 every weekday. It is very, very often very Chiefs heavy. And this story is going to get us through, I don't know, the next 2 months?
The rest of time.
The rest of time, honestly. It's at least going to get us to the draft, and then the draft will get us to training camp, and then training camp will get us to the actual season, which will get us all the way to the first-round playoff loss. That's the show's plan, though. I have a Chromebook here on the desk, but it's just for show. I just actually have a sticky note on the screen that just says, talk about the Chiefs, and then it's those kind of the here to here. Also, though, on my sticky note, I have some more tweets that are just fun and help put the trade from last night in perspective. Matt Miller at NFL Draft Scout tweeted, I still can't believe Veach got a 3 and a starting cornerback for a 34-year-old Alex Smith with 1 year left on his deal. Andrew Perloff, McLovin, who almost got murdered by Alex Smith early yesterday, was quoting Adam Schefter on the Dan Patrick Show. Schefter said, they gave up a player that some people told me was already their highest-rated defensive player. He was the key to the deal. In the end, that's really the trade. Kendall Fuller for Alex Smith. Also, Sam Mellinger tweeted, when I was a kid, I was terrible at trading baseball cards. Like, awful. I'd lock in what I wanted, fall in love, and not care what it took. I want Greg Pryor. You want Clemens? Cool. Took a lot of beatings in the trade game. I get where Washington is coming from, is my point. Such a good tweet, and such a good use of the 280 characters. Most tweets that are that long eventually kind of lose the plot halfway through. Sam's a writer. The thing that the Broncos also actually offered a second Aqib Talib is wild. And I was taking a peek at the Facebook comments. We'll talk about Aqib Talib in a minute. I would be increasingly more surprised if the Chiefs made a move on Aqib Talib. But I would not put that at a 0% chance. And by not zero, I don't mean a 2% chance. I mean, I can at least make a very good case for why it should happen. But first, we have to talk about Brett Veach. I've already been pretty into the moves Brett Veach has made, but this is the first really big one. Finding Harrison Butker, awesome. That trade for Reggie Ragland looks really good. And Cam Irving, incomplete, et cetera, et cetera. There's a bunch of small Brett Veach moves that work around here. But this trade was so specific. I had people in my timeline whenever it was a third-round pick and a player to be named later. People were saying, what about Josh Norman? What about Ryan Kerrigan? And I was looking at it, and this is how I was GMing the Chiefs in my head. This is why I feel really good about Brett Veach, because he's doing what I would be doing. Better, certainly. But philosophically, I realize how unbelievably about how and unbelievably much I just made that about myself.
Oh, yeah.
I have a tendency to do that. Welcome to the show.
Got Brett Veach dialing you up during breaks?
No. But
hey, Josh, what should I do now?
You know my point, though, I hope. The point I'm actually mean here is that Brett Veach is appears to be working on kind of a timeline and on a mindset that I've been looking at the Chiefs and the NFL with. And it's a place where I didn't understand what John Dorsey was doing. John Dorsey, very good GM. He's going to make Cleveland better. Can't make him worse. But I think that John Dorsey got a little bit, I don't know, I would say too big for his britches. That's not really what I mean. But I think John Dorsey got a little bit reckless whenever it came to managing a salary cap. And so whenever people were saying, what about Josh Norman? What about Ryan Kerrigan? The first things I did is I Googled Josh Norman spot track, which is where you can see their salary for each year and their guaranteed money, etc. And I was just seeing these really big salary cap numbers. I do still, again, on the Tlaib point, Tlaib's salary doesn't scare me, because there's very little guaranteed money in it. But Josh Norman and Ryan Kerrigan were different stories. And I also do think it's a little bit odd for the Chiefs to be pursuing older players right now. Although, again, I think Tlaib makes a lot of sense for a lot of reasons. We talked about that a bunch yesterday on the show. And we'll touch on it a little more later. Obviously, now though, the Chiefs' cornerback situation is different. And better, for what it's worth. But I think the mindset that Brett Veach has that makes me so encouraged, because it's the same mindset that I've been working with. Maybe it's because I played a lot of Madden 08 on the PC back in the day. I did a lot of salary cap management. This actually, I'm realizing now, this is my whole thing. I would update the rosters manually, and I would go download someone else's roster updates and then go into the source code and not source code, but folders and move them in and load up my own rosters and everything and then manage the salary cap like a wizard. With Brett Veach, the Chiefs just filled one of their biggest holes on the roster while freeing up $16 million in cap space. You can't possibly overstate how difficult that is to do. Hey, in one move, one single move, we are going to clear out a net gain of $16 million in salary cap space, and we're going to add a 22-year-old player who automatically makes our defense better.
All while trading a guy everybody knew we were going to trade.
Right, and the guy that you move is a guy who is, frankly, this is a very ungraceful way to put it, but it's a guy standing in the way of the guy you really want to play quarterback. And Alex with us much more than that for a good long portion of his career here in Kansas City, but that's as of this offseason, that's what Alex Smith was. He was a guy who had a nice stint in Kansas City, never won the big one, never won two in a row, ended the losing streak of post-game or postseason losses. Plenty of good things to say about Alex Smith. everyone's doing it, and it's all well and good that you do. He's earned that. And I wish him the absolute best in Washington. I think the absolute best for him in Washington is his contract that we still haven't talked about, but we will talk about, and I will probably be shushed again because I don't know how to control my volume whenever talking about the amount of guaranteed money that Alex Smith just got. But I am so encouraged by the mindset that Brett Veach is using right now. It's a very forward-thinking, modern NFL mindset. And I think that is a stupendous thing for the Chiefs. Also, I decided at one point last night that I was going to try to come up with a, you know, inherently reasonable take for this trade. And it's not just singing Mahomes on the Range or cheering that Philip Gaines knocked down the depth chart. On a very reasonable level here, I'm super excited about the trade because it does a lot of good things all at once. It gives you Mahomes. It frees up a huge chunk of cap space. It adds a super talented, cheap, young corner, and it gives you another draft pick. Not only is this a really good move, it's a really good move for a lot of reasons. And it's only good moves. There's not a thing here that makes you go, oh, well, yeah, I mean, that's what you have to do to make this happen. No! We're good. This is it, man. This is a 100% clean sweep of good developments. Yeah, it cost you Alex Smith, a guy who had a 0% chance of being here next year, realistically. Like, remember whenever the Chiefs were hamstrung by a bad salary cap situation? Remember when that was a huge topic of conversation? Brett Veach came in and he traded for Reggie Ragland, a great cap value. Traded for Kevin Pierre-Louis, same thing. Traded up in talent, up in scheme fit. Pennies on the dollar. Brought in Darrelle Revis for pennies on the dollar. Brought in Harrison Butker for basically free, and then Kendall Fuller for the next 2 years by trading away a guy that could not be on this roster next year. So I am very happy about the fact that Brett Veach seems extremely capable of navigating in the modern NFL. Yeah, he seems to really understand the value of getting young guys with minimal cap hits. And it's one of the reasons that I was so, I mean, there are plenty of reasons for this, but I was so eagerly, aggressively banging the table for the Chiefs to go get a quarterback in the draft last year. To win in the NFL, you simply must have elite quarterback play or the kind of value from the quarterback position that allows you to invest heavily elsewhere. And the Eagles are the closest team right now, obviously, to being able to poke a hole in that theory, you may think. I'm going to Carson Wentz's spot track right now, continue to get you the actual number. Carson Wentz this year is making $7.2 million. And you can add Nick Foles. Everyone's got a backup, though, so if you're going to put market value for the average quarterback at $15 million a year, Alex Smith's about to make 23 and a half. He's making 17 next year. Carson Wentz would have given the Chiefs, in this exact situation, $10 million of extra spendable cash than Alex Smith did, and then he obviously was performing at a level beyond that. Nick Foles comes in now, though. Not the quarterback that Carson Wentz is, but performs very well with a tremendous supporting cast. That's the recipe. You either just pray that you end up with Tom Brady, or you keep bringing in young, cheap quarterbacks that allow you to spend elsewhere, and then another spend, while spending elsewhere, you go get Reggie Ragland and Kendall Fuller. Young impact guys that are on their rookie deals. And then it affords you the ability to go sign Aqib Talib or whatever. Or to end up paying Marcus Peters the big deal that he's going to eventually get. It's a no-brainer. But teams still pay Derek Carr and Matt Stafford and, sorry, Alex Smith too much money to go not be Tom Brady. And if I'm still here in 3 or 4 years talking about Pat Mahomes and he has performed at a Matt Stafford level and the conversation about paying him market value comes up, I'm probably going to have to say things about value at the quarterback position then that's going to be super unpleasant. Or if he ends up being one of the two or three best quarterbacks in the AFC, then you pay the guy. It's really simple. Finding that cutoff line can be hard, but in the AFC right now, you pay Brady and Roethlisberger, and I was cool paying Andrew Luck. His shoulder's a problem, but you don't pay Derek Carr, Matt Stafford, or Kirk Cousins, or Alex Smith, the kind of money that those guys are making or are going to be making very soon, in Kirk Cousins' case. And I think and that can also extend to other positions. In a vacuum, I'd rather have Kendall Fuller than Aqib Talib. Not in a vacuum. The opposite of that. Outside of a vacuum. In the actual realistic situation, I'd rather have Kendall Fuller than Aqib Talib right now. Because Aqib Talib's going to cost $20 million for the next 2 seasons. Kendall Fuller is going to cost like $1.5 million. I think Aqib Talib could still fit on this team. But the only reason that a guy like Talib does fit on this team is because of the move you make for Fuller and Ragland and guys like that. So instead of going and making the big swings in free agency for the big middle linebacker, or the first corner that hits the market, you do what Brett Veach has done with Ragland and Fuller. And Veach had the ability to do that with a few teams with Alex Smith just now. Washington was the best trade partner, and Fuller was one of the best imaginable pieces in this entire situation. So I think that Brett Veach pulled off an absolute masterful job here. We're going to take a break. Whenever we come back, I want to talk about... let me phrase it differently than I was going to phrase it. People usually say that whenever a move is made, you can tell the value of the move by looking at the reaction of opposing fans. If that is true, then the Chiefs just got a Hall of Famer for a magic bean. Also, what Washington actually did give to Alex Smith is absolutely wild. We'll talk about that next.
You're listening to Almost Entirely Sports.
Deshaun Watson's been a thrill. He looks really good. I'm glad that he's good because I like good young quarterbacks. Like, I'm excited that Carson Wentz exists. I'm excited that Jared Goff is playing well.
With Joshua Briscoe.
But I will never slander the good, pure name of Patrick Mahomes. Mahomes forever!
On ESPN Kansas City.
Tom Brady has a scar on his quad from being bitten by a dog after practice.
I was going to tell you about that during the break and I forgot.
Some military members were using Patriots facilities and Brady happened to raise his arms above his head, which cued one of their dogs to go at him. The handler grabbed the dog, but it still got his leg.
Apparently he's the one that told the story during his press conference.
Good boy. That's a joke, I'm kidding. I don't want Tom Brady to be bitten by a dog. I want him to be bitten by Gronk. just Gronk just has like a flashback to, I don't know what he would be flashing back to. I want to see Rob Gronkowski bite Tom Brady. We'll figure out the reasons behind it later. All right, so Washington traded for Alex Smith. If you missed that, trade ends up looking very good for your Kansas City Chiefs. But what Washington gave to Alex Smith is crazy. Now, this is one of the reasons that I think he ended up going to Washington, and I do think the Chiefs did have this in mind. I think Andy Reid and Brett Veach wanted Alex Smith to go to a place where he would get a big bleeping extension. And, wow, he did. Washington gave Alex Smith a 4-year contract extension, in addition to the year he already has next year, worth $94 million, averaging $23.5 million per year in new money, and this is really the kicker, $70 million in guarantees. Now, this isn't actually true until, I think, what is it, March 14th or 16th or something? But whenever Alex Smith does put his name on that piece of paper, he will be $70 million richer. It'll be prorated over those years. But he will be guaranteed $70 million. So good for him. I would be beside myself if I was a Washington fan. And again, I feel like I've got plenty of good things I could say about Pat Mahomes. Or excuse me, oh man, what a Freudian slip, I saw it. I could say, sorry, Pat Mahomes was on PTI and Charlie and Beards were hassling me. Distracting me.
What did I do?
You were being distracted. You were watching the Facebook feed to see if you could see the thing that I did. Could you see the thing that I did?
Not explicitly.
Woo!
You're safe.
All right, I had my safety in mind. Charlie came by and shushed me again. So I returned his shush. If you're listening on an audio medium, as again, like I think statistically 98% of you are. But here's a list of players, by the way, that have gotten $70 million in guaranteed money. Matthew Stafford, Andrew Luck, Derek Carr, Von Miller, Alex Smith, end of list. Now, and like Kirk Cousins is going to end up on that list for sure. But and I know that the quarterback market is really evolving, but that is absolutely wild. They give up one of their best defensive players, a third round pick. They'll get a third round pick back for Kirk Cousins, a compensatory pick next year. So it's about a wash there. But you wait a year on your pick. You give up one of your best defenders, and then you pay Alex Smith $70 million in guaranteed money. It's a lot. That's just a lot. Like, he is almost financially guaranteed to be the quarterback there for the next 3 years, probably four. Fifth year's a joke. We don't know. No one ever gets to the end of their contract in the NFL. It's fake money. My favorite things I saw from Washington fans on Twitter yesterday. Jason Lockenfora got tweeted that just got an unsolicited text from a well-respected personnel exec on the Washington moves. Dumb as bleep trading Fuller. I tend to agree, Lockenfora says. My favorite comment from a fan, second favorite comment from a fan, just said, pass the Tide Pods. Also very funny. My favorite tweet from an angry Washington fan said, way too much per year for Alex. Fuller showed great long-term potential in an improved defense. Get a terrible feeling about this trade. You may think, that's not particularly funny. No, it's not. Until you learn that the person who tweeted that is Dale Earnhardt Jr. You know, I mean, that's just not a good look. Whenever Dale Earnhardt Jr. is out here playing general manager, like, that's just not a good look for your franchise. So that's my favorite. That's my favorite tweet from last night, I think, is that Dale Earnhardt Jr. was truly upset with the terms. All right, let's dive into the comments on Facebook here. You can always watch the show every single weekday from 4 to 6. You can watch the show on Facebook, ESPN Kansas City Facebook page. We'll take your comments and questions. We'll do our best to get through them throughout the show. Zach says, the fact that Washington was the team we traded with is the most shocking. Out of all the teams I thought the Chiefs would have been talking to, Washington was never even on the list, but it makes sense because he's said in an interview that he likes the colors red, brown, and gold slash yellow. Alex Smith is going to spend his whole career in variants of red and gold. San Francisco, Kansas City, Washington.
Now just watch some Washington young quarterback come and beat him out of that spot, too.
I mean, it's going to happen, yeah. That is how his career will end. It's not going to end with a Super Bowl and a retirement. I mean, obviously. Yeah, that's what's going to happen. Wade says, all hail Mahomes, long live Mahomes. Amen. Rick says, why was he not a main cover corner in Washington, a slot corner? I don't know. That is interesting. I know that Josh Norman was the guy. I don't know much about the rest of their secondary situation. That's a good question, but he's also very young, so they could have just started him at the slot and then liked his performance. I could see why they wouldn't want to have rocked the boat there, though. Clinton said, I was in a Benadryl coma at 6, heard the news, then stayed up until 2 a.m. geeking out. That's good. I did not expect big news from last night. And again, so Rick says, no one will tell me why he only played slot. I don't know why he only played slot in Washington, but I think that Fuller ends up playing more than just slot in Kansas City. I've looked at some of the tape, and I think that's the direction it's going in. The person who's seen all the tape, Seth Kaiser from Arrowhead Pride. We'll talk to him, in like 5 minutes. He'll know. He'll explain. That's next.
You're listening to Almost Entirely Sports.
Again, if this is the first time listening to the show, I'm not going to spend the whole show telling you all the reasons that Patrick Mahomes should start next week.
With Joshua Briscoe.
That's tomorrow.
That's tomorrow's show.
On ESPN Kansas City.
I just realized that it's been like a month since we have talked to Seth Kaiser. I hope Seth knows this isn't a grudge that I'm holding. This is simply a case of the Chiefs make me sad-itis. But not today! Today is a happy Chiefs day. So now we talk with Seth Kaiser. He's at RealMNChiefsFan on Twitter. He has the Chief in the North podcast, all of his stuff's on Arrowhead Pride, and he is a man who let his wife sleep alone last night so he could review Kendall Fuller's film. Seth, is your wife used to it by now?
For the most part, yeah. What I've learned to do is I was sitting there making some gifts earlier in the night while we sat next to each other and talked.
Yeah.
And then I watched a quick movie with her, helped her put the kiddos to bed, and then it was me flying solo the rest of the night. But there's a price to be paid. Because when my one-year-old got up at 1 o'clock, I was with him until 3:30, which is why I actually didn't get to sleep till about 7:30 this morning, slept till about 9.
Oh, no.
So, yeah, well, I promised that I would have the article ready, so I needed to get the article ready.
You're a machine. What movie did you guys watch?
We do Netflix together.
Uh-huh.
Which led to me on Facebook, because I didn't understand, because, I'm old. I'm 32, right?
Right.
And I talked about me and the wife were going to Netflix and chill.
No, Seth! No, Seth, no!
I did! Because I was like, oh, that sounds nice. Like, we'll watch Netflix and we'll hang out. And, it was really funny because you saw a distinct generation gap. Because, I'm 32. And I'm a pastor, and I'm an attorney, but I also, I'm a former youth pastor. So I've got, all these, different people that I'm friends with on Facebook. And so, half the people, the people my age and older, are like, oh, that sounds like such a nice evening. And, kids that I led in youth group were like, Seth, LOL, what? What are you doing? And, doing, gifts, why? And that kind of thing. And so finally, one of the messages, Seth, do you know what that means? I'm like, no. So anyway, we were watching Netflix. Sorry.
It's
yeah,
so
I'm,
good.
Look, I'm really tired, man.
No,
that
it's
was
so
an
good.
Overshare.
It's so
I'm
good.
Sorry. No, we were watching comedians in cars getting coffee.
Sure.
Yeah, not a bad show. It's very, low impact entertainment.
Yeah, that's fine. Oh, wow. Okay, well, that's so good. I got nothing on comedians and cars getting coffee, really, but the Netflix and chill story is fantastic.
Wow. I'm looking forward to that being my opening segment next time.
Yes. Yes, Beers just gave me two thumbs up and a big smile and nod. I've never seen him show this much emotion ever. He was already working on it.
I just didn't know. Neither did she. She said it too. And like she had to, it was really funny.
That's
like
good.
She said it because she does like a home business thing and she said it in one of her things. And like, I mean, it was bad. We're not up to date.
No, I guess I was going to say it's innocent enough. Like, it's an innocent enough mistake to be the perfect level of hilarious.
Absolutely. Well, and I didn't mind, you know. Right. I slapped a ring on it. We can do whatever we want. You know?
You got 1,000 children. Like, it's...
Yeah. This isn't a...
You're not hiding in the dark. Like, we know.
That's what I finally said to some of the teens when I found out. I'm like, look, guys, you've met my kids. This
right.
isn't a secret. Okay, parents have had to talk with you.
Yeah, it's not because like if they met your children and like immediately started screaming, like, oh, well, okay, I see what you're doing. Very funny.
There it is. Yeah.
But it's a little late. Wow.
So anyway, yeah, we haven't talked in a month.
No,
yeah,
good. Anyway, yeah, good to have you on, Seth. Thanks for the time. Have fun talking to Cody tonight. No. Oh, Kendall Fuller. I'm so sorry. I completely forgot.
Oh, sure.
Yeah, no, we haven't talked in a month because I every time I've been like, oh, we could talk to Seth, but I don't know if I even want to talk about the Chiefs right now. It's just.
Yeah. Well, and the response I get, because, I mean, obviously that's my job, what I do, and the response that I would get, like, I would tweet out, you know, something that I was working on, or I'd write an article that I was working on, and it was, like, always the same responses, right? Yeah. It's not going to matter with Bob Sutton. it's not going to matter because they're going to play him out in the playoffs again. And so people were upset, and I get that, because it was, you know, in a year in which we had very low, like, not low expectations, but we didn't really have high expectations, they managed to lose in such a tragic way.
Yes.
Then it still hurt people.
Yes.
And so I get that, but what I'm happy about now is I've been writing about, like, free agency, kind of trying to get people, you know, pointed forward, and now, like, the whole fan base is like, oh, well, we don't care anymore, and now they're looking forward again.
Yes.
And so thank you, Brett Beach.
Yes, 100%. Because it's the Mahomes era starting officially, and what they got in return. Let's go ahead. Let's talk about the trade a little bit, and then I want to know right now, especially if you're listening to this now and you want to go read instead of listen to this, go to Arrowhead Pride and read Seth's article about Kendall Flores' full film breakdown. But first, I'm curious, Seth, so sort of your pre-evaluation thoughts on the trade. You see 22-year-old corner, you see the Pro Football Focus grades, and you hear that. You're the third-round pick for Alex Smith. Today we hear that the Broncos actually were offering a second and Aqib Talib. Benjamin Albright had
that. Isn't that wild?
Insane. Yeah. And the Browns are apparently offering one of their two top-of-the-second-round picks. With all of that, before you looked through all of the film, as your head stopped spinning and eventually kind of landed firmly on your shoulders, what was your takeaway?
The big thing for me, and, you know, all due respect to Pro Football Focus, you know, they had a great grade on them, but that's not dispositive for me, especially with corners. I think they do good work, but I'm kind of a I-gotta-know kind
of
guy.
Sure, of course.
But what really hooked it for me is a couple of guys that I interact with on Twitter. They're fellow analysts, I guess. I'm a fanalist, and they're actually analysts.
Sure.
Especially a guy named Ian Wharton.
Yeah, I read his tweet earlier, yep.
I mean, he does a ton of cornerback work. He is, in my opinion, as far as I can tell, other than like maybe like Matt Bowen, he is the best corner analyst out there. And I saw a couple of things he tweeted, and I thought, really? And so then I got kind of excited because, you know, young contract is real low, a couple of years left on it. A third-round pick is decent anyway. So I started to get kind of excited, but my big thing is, I need to always check the film. So I was cautiously optimistic going into it.
And then what did you see on the film?
Man, people are going to just because I don't want to – just no, with the caveat that football analysis is not necessarily predictive in nature. Just because someone played a certain way last year does not mean they're guaranteed to play that way this year. So now that we've cleared that up, and now we're not going to say Seth Kizer said that he'll do this. The film I reviewed was literally the best corner film that I've ever reviewed, and that includes Marcus Peters from this year and last year.
It's a good takeaway. It's solid. It's a solid quote.
Good. According to Seth Kiser, yeah. He's better than Marcus Peters.
Yes. Yep. That's, I've already tweeted it. Already out.
Sure. And I mean, here's the deal. Peters is an incredible corner. He's come a long ways in his consistency.
Mm-hmm.
He's very solid snap by snap in coverage. He's the best playmaker at corner in the NFL, and I don't think it's particularly close.
Mm-hmm.
So that's not a knock on Peters at all. But what I saw with Fuller, and he worked almost exclusively out of the slot. I think he only had like 80 snaps on the boundaries.
Mm-hmm.
He was so impressive. I watched four games, the Eagles, the Raiders, the Seahawks, and the Cardinals. And I did that because I wanted to watch him against good wide receiver groups, especially groups that line up good guys in the slot, like Doug Baldwin, right?
Right.
Maybe the best slot receiver in the NFL.
Yep.
Larry Fitzgerald operates a ton out of the slot, and he is great out of there these days. The Raiders rotate various guys in, but they've got good receivers there. So do the Eagles. And so it was a really good, basis to go off of.
For sure.
So I watched the Eagles game, which was his first game of the year. And I was like, wow, this guy is really good. I mean, I was just so impressed. And I was like, wow, that alone makes it worth it. Holy smokes, unless this film gets way worse. And then I turned on the next game, which was the Oakland game, and it was even better. Then I turned on the Seattle Seahawks game, and it was even better. And it culminated in the Cardinals game, which was even better. I mean, he was unbelievable. So I've got a system in which I chart successes and failures in coverage, and we've talked about that a little bit.
Uh-huh.
Generally speaking, playing corner is hard. I'm okay accepting it if a guy fails, in coverage 20% of the time.
Right.
That's going to happen.
Right.
Playing corner in the NFL is very tough. 20%, I'm okay with. Between 20 and 25, I'm okay with. More than that, failure rate, I'm like, lower than that, great. Well, he kind of broke my system a little bit because in those four games, mind you, against exceptional slot receivers, his failure rate was at 12%.
Wow.
And his success rate was at 42%, which is also abnormally high. A lot of corner snaps, especially in a zone-dominant scheme like Washington, are neutral. And so a 42% win rate is pretty high. Because when I try to win for a corner, that means like blanket coverage. Like you'd need a stud throw and catch. And I mean, so he was so impressive, Josh. I mean, his footwork, everything. Anything you ask about him, I will tell you, is at the very least above average. And most of it looked elite. It was unbelievable film.
Well, so this is an unknowable question, but just something that I've been curious about, and you're as qualified as anybody to answer it. What do you think he would have been worth in a trade, just kind of like on the open market? If Washington would have just been like, hey, we're taking offers on Kendall Fuller, do you have a reasonable guess as to what a team would have ended up giving up for him?
I can tell you as and this is just me,
yeah.
I don't value draft picks as much as your casual fan.
Right.
A guy his age with 2 years left on that rookie deal, I'd give over a second-round pick in a heartbeat for him. I mean, I wouldn't even think about it.
Yeah.
Because he was so good. And then that backs up, Wharton, who does the analysis for Bleacher Report for the NFL 1000, he rated him as the best slot defender in the NFL last year. Better than the Honey Badger, better than Chris Harris Jr., better than anyone you name. And his film really was that good. It was after watching him especially. Now, with only 2 years left in his contract, it'd be kind of dicey for me because one good thing about first-round picks is that, the fifth-year option and all that.
Right.
I would legitimately think about trading a first-round pick for this guy. Hmm. He was that good. Now, again, I value proven commodities over unknowable draft picks.
Mm-hmm.
But he was that impressive. He's got great footwork. He's got fast feet. His quickness is exceptional. He breaks on the ball extremely well. He contests the ball extremely well. He gets his head turned around and tracks. He's incredibly sticky in coverage. The one thing that I could say is that I don't think he has elite top-end speed, but I do think his top speed's a little bit faster than Peters.
Right.
But not much.
That's not a sentence. I read that in your story, in your article about him, and I saw not great top end speed. I'm like, okay, I can unlimit that. And then I saw, but probably still better than Marcus Peters' top end speed. And I just like threw my hands up in the air, thinking like, if this is Seth, that is a terrible criticism of a man. That is such a weak criticism.
I was trying to be nitpicky. And Marcus Peters isn't a particularly fast corner.
But I've never, I don't know if I've ever once seen Marcus Peters just get like, just like, oh man, he looks so slow next to this receiver. It never matters because he's Marcus Peters.
And that's true. I would say the comparison that I would make would be Casey Hayward.
Mm.
Now, to be fair, Hill ran right by Casey Hayward.
Right.
But Hill runs right by literally everyone.
Yes.
So I'm not that worried about it. I don't think you want to put Fuller one-on-one in press man against Tyreek Hill with no safety help over the top because you don't want to do that with literally any corner in the
right.
NFL. But I was trying to find something to nitpick because, you know, the tough part about writing articles like this, I really, and you've known me long enough to know this, mm-hmm. I pride myself on just saying what I see.
Sure,
that's
course.
Why both. That's why both sides of the Alex Smith wars always were getting mad at me.
Right.
Because, you know, I kept to them. I was waffling. It's like, well, no, it's just what the film says. And so my problem is, if it comes across as too optimistic or too pessimistic, people yell at me and stuff. and I was tired. And I didn't feel like getting yelled at. And so I was just like, okay, what could I possibly criticize? I was messaging people that I know. I'm like, can you give me something about his film that you don't like?
Right.
And every analyst I talk to is like, no, he's great. I'm like, oh, come on. That does not help me. And so that's what I came up with. His top-end speed, it's around Marcus Peters, maybe a little bit better. He's quicker than Peters, though. Now, to be fair, he doesn't track the ball as well as Peters or the corner, but no one does.
But no one does, yeah.
Or the quarterback.
Right.
And so he's a different kind of player than Peters. He hardly played any press. He was almost exclusively in the slot. He played a lot of off-man coverage. But, I mean, he anticipates routes so well, and he breaks on the ball so well. I was just – his footwork is just impeccable. And it was just so exciting to watch because, you know, a lot of people are asking, well, where's he going to play? Will he play slot? Mm-hmm. Will he play the boundary? I'm curious if they try to do, like, kind of a Chris Harris Jr. situation mm-hmm. where they haven't played boundary corner except the, you know, 70% of snaps when they need a slot corner, and then
right.
they slide him inside.
Yep.
Which I think is perfectly acceptable to do it that way. It's harder to find a good slot corner than a guy who can at least be average as a boundary corner.
Yep.
And so what I, you know, it wouldn't surprise me if the Chiefs, I don't know, if they, now Revis is expensive to do it this way, but I wouldn't have a problem with it.
Yeah.
If, you know, they let it kind of be a fight between Fuller and Revis in training camp with regards to that starting boundary corner, and they let, you know, it'd be Peters and Fuller on the outside, and then on, again, 70% of the snaps, Revis comes in, plays the boundary, and Fuller slides inside.
Mm-hmm.
Personally, I have a higher opinion of Revis than a lot of Chiefs fans do right now, mm-hmm. and I personally think that's based on one play that
yep.
irritated a lot of people,
yep.
not how he played overall.
Yep.
Overall, he was good in coverage,
yep.
from what I saw. I mean, not great, but he was pretty good.
Yeah.
And
better
so
than the
I
other
think,
options, yeah.
Yes. And I think a trio of Peters, Fuller, and Revis, I think you'd do pretty well with that.
Yeah. No,
I think you'd do very well.
I think that makes a lot of sense. The only thing is that it's very expensive, and I think one thing we've learned from Brett Veach here is that Brett Veach is I talked about this last segment, so I won't do it in its entirety again now, but I am super impressed by the value that Brett Veach has put on getting young, cheap guys.
Absolutely.
Fuller and Reggie Ragland being the key ones. Sure, the draft pick value be damned. This guy's got years left on his rookie deal and is crazy talented. This is how you build the valuable team. Also, with trading Alex Smith away, it's the same thing. Value at the quarterback position, value at a couple other places on the field. You're not going to feel so hampered by the contracts for Eric Berry or Justin Houston, or maybe the contract for Darrell Revis, or if Aqib Talib ends up being available, I don't know.
I'm still... Now that it actually came out, because I was just mm-hmm. asking random questions on Twitter
mm-hmm.
because someone had speculated about Talib in a second rounder for Smith. Frankly, I would have made that trade.
Yeah.
Now this, I think Fuller and a third rounder is a better trade because Smith
yes.
isn't in the division.
Yep.
Fuller's younger, doesn't have the same concerns. Contract is way cheaper.
Yep.
And he played at a higher level than Talib did last year.
Yep. No, I
based on me watching both of them. And Talib
yes.
was really good last year. But now we know the Broncos are shopping him.
Mm-hmm.
So if you're Brett Veach, don't you at least think about,
mm-hmm.
just think about calling up Elway and be like, yeah, sorry, that one didn't work out. But, you know, we'll still take him off your hands for a fifth next year.
Yep, 100%.
And if he says yes, okay, then you cut Revis. And at the end of the year, because because Revis's would have ended up being $10 million if he played the full year. Yeah, it cost you an extra $2 million, but you get a corner that played at a significantly higher level last year.
Yep.
And you've got a trio, and I understand people have issues with Aqib Talib. I totally understand that. I think he's kind of a bad person. That's what he seems like,
right,
at least. And, you know, I feel bad. If he comes to Kansas City, Aqib, I'm sorry. That's just based on your history. I'm sorry, man.
Right.
You're a man. Deal with it. You know, I do when I run into people who think I'm a bad person. So,
sure.
I,
those are people that I've talked to personally. I've informed them as
well. Oh, yeah,
such.
Absolutely. Yeah. All of them. They think I'm horrible. But
yeah.
Anyway, so what I would say is you've got 1 year on his deal. He's been traded for. If he messes that up and gets cut, because there's only $1 million of guaranteed money. This is why I like his contract.
Yes,
people are
yes.
saying, oh, wait until he's
don't
a
wait
free
till
agent.
His, yes.
No, this is a great contract.
Yes, 100%.
Because it's 1 year, $1 million guaranteed. You can cut him, no strings attached, and Aqib Talib will know that if he gets cut by the Chiefs, who are coached by Andy Reid, of all people, with Eric Berry in the locker room with him.
Yep.
If he gets cut from that team, he will get signed for maybe $1 million somewhere. Maybe.
Yep.
And he will have cost himself, you know, 10, 11 million bucks, maybe 20 when you look at, you know, his next year is 8 mil. And then here's the other thing. If he does really well and he keeps his mouth shut, and I think he would for at least 1 year.
Yep.
And so then for 1 year, you have the best corner trio in the NFL, and it's not even close.
No.
It's not even close. We're talking better than Denver's was at its peak.
Yes, it's incredible.
Because Denver's included Roby, who's good, but not great.
Yep.
And so if it all works out, and then you've got Talib on contract for $8 million next year.
Yeah.
And $8 million's nothing.
Nothing. No, it's
and so
it makes all the sense
I don't
in the world.
See a downside to this, and I do think for all the behavioral concerns, all of that, he'll keep his behavior in line because he's got too much to lose if he doesn't. So I'm still all in on Talib. I think they
me too.
Should. Now it depends on what John Elway wants.
Right.
But
no, but I am I'm lockstep with you on that.
Nice.
Although except for I'm not going to call Aqib Talib a bad person because I like to have him on the show. So.
You know what? And that's fair. And I feel bad. I shouldn't have said that.
No, it's fine.
No, I should say that he's done some pretty bad things, and it seems like he might not be the nicest guy.
Yeah, that's definitely true. Also, I think Beard has a fact check me on this. Didn't Aqib Talib have a couple of interviews with Le Batard and like stories about like his grandma shooting through a door at like his Aqib Talib has told some very good stories that I'm biased by because those stories and the way he told them was amazing.
Yeah, and he clearly I think he's had a very different upbringing than me.
Sure.
And
yes.
I think you know, and so I'm not trying to sit here and be, you know, rain judgment on the guy.
I don't.
But to be fair, when you've got multiple instances that involve guns, it makes you think.
Oh, of course.
Now, he did in his defense, the chain snatching thing with Crabtree. I was thrilled about that.
Oh, it's so good.
You know, someone needed to do that to Michael Crabtree.
Also,
so.
can you confirm the Fuller interception celebration? Of him putting his hands behind his back and his teammates patting him down after getting interceptions. I heard Sam Mellinger mention this.
I did see that, yes. I'm not sure what that's all about.
I don't know either.
Because
he
stole something?
Yeah. I think that's probably it. Dude, I'm so excited. I love that. If there's any place in football where I'd love to have, this is going to show my bias because I love Marcus Peters. If there's a place where I could just have 1,000% that attitude, it would be in a secondary with Peters and Fuller and Aqib Talib. I'd be all over. Okay, we got to get you out of here in a couple minutes because you got other things to do.
Do
you have a good reason for why Fuller didn't play outside more often in Washington?
I couldn't tell you. I had some people trying to tell me that he did it last year and he was poor at it. So what I did is I went through about, like, I don't know, 3 or 4 games. And I didn't click on every snap. Mm-hmm. But what I did is I just randomly selected like 25, 30 snaps throughout those 4 games just to see where he was lined up.
Right.
And every one of them, he was still in the slot. And so either it was an incredible coincidence or he was playing slot virtually all the time last year too. I think, again, this is just a guess, that it was more an issue of skill set that he's already shown and the fact that the Redskins, they had Norman and they had Breland, both of whom are
stable on the edges
good, already. Yeah, they're good corners, and I don't think either of those guys can play in the slot.
Yeah, that's a good call.
And so you put him there, and again, learning to play with the boundary is kind of a different skill set, but based on what I saw him do, I don't see any reason why he wouldn't. I know the one concern is top-end speed. I'm really not worried about it. It's kind of stuff people said about Casey Hayward, and that's why the Chargers were able to steal him.
Mm-hmm.
because, oh, he's just a slot corner. Well, it turns out the ability to mirror routes and make plays on the ball is universal. You know, it works all over the field. And so I don't see anything on film that would prevent it. He's 5'11". Peters is 6 foot. They have the exact same length of arms. I don't think there's a size issue there. I think he could do it. I'm not sure if they will have him do it. And I don't think he will be a press corner if he does. Mm-hmm. He's a gifted off-man coverage guy. And considering, you know, how often Sutton seemed to have them line up in off-man,
yep,
you know, that might work out.
Yep. Okay, 30 seconds. I have three, like, rapid-fire kind of questions here.
Gotcha.
This one's not a rapid-fire answer, but you're going to have to make it one. Where are you at on Bob Sutton right now?
He is a very, very, very average defensive coordinator that, if he has talent, has shown the defense can be good if there's enough talent.
Where does last night rank in all-time Chiefs Twitter nights?
It was right up there, I think, with when they traded up for Mahomes. And maybe even a little bit wilder because there was the whole back and forth. Was
yes.
it him? Was it not him? That was pretty wild.
That is my argument for why I think it might be, because the 10 minutes of the Chiefs have traded up, is it for Mahomes or Deshaun Watson? That was a wild 10 minutes. We had that for like 2 hours last night.
Oh, that was, I felt so bad. I was such a neglectful husband. I was just like, you know, honey, I love you, but I need to refresh Twitter again.
Well, Netflix and chill later, honey. I've got to
refresh
this page.
Yeah, well, Netflix and chill later. You know what? Nope, I was going to say something. I'm not going to.
Oh, come on!
Nope.
Please!
I'm very tired, and I don't trust my judgment right now.
Fine. All right, last question. Who do the Chiefs play in the Super Bowl next year?
The Vikings, led by Kirk Cousins, because he had enough common sense to go to a team with a good defense still.
That, I feel like that might be your heart a little bit, but it also, I feel like, is a pretty good answer. So that works. I'll let you have it, real Minnesota Chiefs fan. All right, go.
Just because my father's cheered for them for 50 years? And, although, to be fair, I mean, I've got a sister who's a diehard Chiefs fan. She came to a game with me this year, and her husband's a diehard Vikings fan. And so that could be problems.
It could
but
be.
I'm a chaos theory guy, so it could be fun.
All right, Seth, go do other radio and writing things. Go love your wife. Go get some rest. Whatever it is that you need to do next, I wish you the very best in it.
All right, thanks for having me, Josh.
Thank you for being here. I almost said you're welcome. How self-centered am I? Good God, he left his wife for me, not permanently, just for like 20 minutes.
You're listening to Almost Entirely Sports.
Also, for what it's worth, if we see another 9-point performance here, I'm not going to be able to hold back my Patrick Mahomes. The angry mob is coming. They are going to destroy you.
With Joshua Briscoe.
Do they have torches and pitchforks, or what do they have instead?
Actually, unlike Alex Smith's fan base, they have range weapons, so they can attack you from a distance.
Solid joke.
Yeah, no kidding.
On ESPN Kansas City.
Every time that liner plays, I smirk whenever I remember what my joke was. Because it was so good. It was so good, completely just naturally forming. By the way, the Chiefs are playing in Mexico next year. Their game at the Los Angeles Rams is actually going to be played in Mexico. I would like to go cover that game. When I mentioned that earlier, Beards said something about cocaine, so now the streak continues.
8 days!
8 days. Truly, I don't want to, I don't want to do this by obligation every day, but it did already come up once, the kind of pre-show, so I feel like that matters. In fact, that's important. All right, let's go back to the comments. Is that our version of let's go to the phones?
Sure.
I think it's better than let's go to the phones, because whenever you go to the phones, it means other people are going to talk for just so long and you can sip your coffee or whatever. I feel like this is better. Anyway, there are a bunch of Facebook comments I hadn't gotten to yet.
Juan says 11 days.
Really? Did he go back and count?
That might have been the case. I don't know.
Wow. We're on 8 days since the official count began.
Sure.
John, I thought I said Josh Gorton for a second. I was going to thank him for listening to the show and ask him to come to Kansas City and catch passes from Pat Mahomes. He said, why did the trade happen so fast? My theory, but whenever I learned it, before I saw what the haul was, as I said, the only reason the trade would have happened this quickly is if the Chiefs were getting something they were happy to be getting. Otherwise, they'd wait it out, and they'd see if the Browns or the Broncos, probably just the two of them, those are the two that we've heard had actual offers, if one of the two of them would step up and make a better offer. I could have seen them doing that, waiting it out, if they didn't get something that blew them away, which they apparently got from Washington. So that's why I think the trade happened so fast.
Update real quick. Juan says he has a chalkboard he's keeping track on.
If that's true, I need a picture of that as soon as possible. Because that would make me so happy. My dad said not to quote Dale Earnhardt Jr. again on the show. That's fair. Sam's was happy Mahomes Day. Yesterday was my wedding anniversary. I joked this morning with my wife that our wedding day is now forever etched into history with the fact that it's the same day that the Mahomes era started. That's awesome. That is that is so great. I feel like there's got to be a joke there about Netflix and chill again and Seth, and I can't quite reach the joke. Beards can't either. I can tell this because he's gotten close to the mic but hadn't turned it on yet.
Well, actually, Juan, what I was going to say is you should send the picture to at JB Briscoe on Twitter.
Yes, please do. I would love to see that picture. You can send it to at JB Briscoe, which is where you can. Or, you know what? No, you know what? Beards, I'd like to amend that. You should send it to at JB Briscoe and at Beards McFly.
That works.
You're welcome. Renee said, also, who turned Charlie into a porg? He's listening so much better. Good move. Yeah, there's a porg. If you're not watching on Facebook, there's an animatronic porg sitting on the console today. I brought it in because Beards and I needed to take some photos, which that way doesn't sound. I also don't want to explain why, because it was basically like a couple like kind of standard like promotional shots, not for any big giant reasons or whatever. What are you looking over your shoulder?
We need to put those on the wall.
The pictures?
Yes.
That way also we'll cover the whole window. And
I mean,
see anyone shush me that way.
I mean the other wall. The wall of
photos. Yes. Here at Union Broadcasting, there's a hallway that has photos of the crews of the daytime shows on 810. And I want to have, yeah, we need to have, just put ours, I'll just print it off like a Polaroid and just sort of tape it up there, not in a frame or anything, just a Polaroid. Also, I swear I will never wear a suit jacket. I had this thought, I was looking at, I can't remember what it was, some radio website, and I was looking at their lineup, and it was all national hosts, and they were all these absolutely terrible headshots, they're just painful to look at. And I thought, I will never take a headshot in a suit and tie. I'll wear a suit and tie and whatever for any number of reasons. No, I have no problem with dressing up. I will never wear that for a headshot, though, because eventually people will find that, and then they'll just use that picture for everything, and I cannot have that. If I'm going to have, I just changed my Twitter avatar yesterday to a picture of all the microphones in the studio pointed at my screaming face. That is what I want sent out with promotional packets of what this show is and who I am. That's what I need. So that's very good. Thomas asked, did we receive any tasty Tide Pods in said trade? The Chiefs did not receive any Tide Pods, but the sales for Tide Pods went way up in D.C. Don't know if that was because of the trade or the State of the Union address. Hello! But I'm pretty sure that's true. Let's see. Where else are we going? Oh, and so Rick asked a couple times earlier on. I don't know if Rick is still, I was going to say if still with us. I don't think he's died during the show today. But I don't know if Rick is still watching now. Because he kept asking why was Fuller only a slot corner if he was that good. So I hope Seth answered some of those questions for you. Partially because Washington had two corners they were very happy with. Also because Fuller was being very high level. Was achieving at a very high level in the slot whenever you have guys on the edges that you feel good about, why would you upturn that? So I think that's probably the logic. Miles said that Fuller's timeline, Twitter timeline last night was great. It was. It was all over the place. It was, I haven't been traded. I will be traded. I'm not traded. Oh, Homer Simpson meme gif. It's very funny. Chase asks, how many years does it take for Patrick Mahomes to become elite? How old is he? 20? Is he 23? Beards, look up for me how old Pat Mahomes is, would you please? Don't worry. You don't need to get the music. I'll get the music. I could have found it by now.
Twenty-two.
I just found that also. So Chase, he's been elite for 22 years now. So I think that's an insulting question to ask. Wade asks, any word on the couch we're getting from Washington? This would be very confusing if you don't usually watch this show or listen to this show.
Or just look at the comment section.
Right. I haven't heard yet, but I think that the Chiefs are getting Kendall Fuller, a third-round pick, and an ottoman, which, you know, the Broncos were offering a lazy boy, and the Browns were offering a dog crate. So I'm pretty happy with how this worked out. So Zach also asked, do you think there's any chance that Talib still gets signed by KC and you have Kendall in the slot? I think there is a chance that they try to trade for Aqib Talib. As Seth pointed out, and I pointed out yesterday on the show, I'm not terribly interested in Aqib Talib as a free agent, assuming that he's going to be looking for some guaranteed money. My assumption is that that's what would happen in free agency. In free agency, he'd be able to have at least a little bit of a bidding war before he ended up taking the deal with the most guaranteed money. That's kind of how business works in the NFL for the most part, and I would rather have him on his current contract. I do think Brett Veach should call John Elway back tomorrow or today or whatever and go, hey, sorry the Alex Smith thing didn't work out, but you're going to need some cap space if you're going to want to sign Kirk Cousins, which is apparently very serious. Colin Cowherd had a report several hours ago that has not yet been confirmed by anyone else. So, but Ben Albright has said that the Broncos are certainly working with Cousins right now. So if they're going to pay Kirk Cousins, they're not going to be holding on to Aqib Talib. I think if you go, hey, so John, we'll give you a sixth round pick, so you don't have to cut him. You get something out of this. How's that sound? I would absolutely be all over that. You can go ahead and keep Fuller in the slot, and then either draft someone else to come in to the outside. Although then at that point, you know, 30% of your snaps or so, the guy that you just got for Alex Smith isn't playing. But I'd be all about it for this year. It makes that secondary so incredibly vicious. It would also obviously help out the pass rush in a big way because you have quarterbacks scared to throw into that secondary with Eric Berry and probably Ron Parker, though he is cuttable this year with relative ease. That is a terrifying secondary, and I think quarterbacks would absolutely respect that. Thomas says, plenty of blame to go around, not just Sutton. Dorsey overpaying Macklin, etc., put us in a spot to improve on defense. This is true. He also said not like they really went nuts in the draft of free agency last year on defense. Benny Logan and Ragland were the only new additions, for sure. Although Logan was with Dorsey, Ragland was with Veach, splitting hairs. I think that's true. I know that Ragland was with Veach. Yeah, Benny Logan was signed whenever Dorsey was still the GM. So, where was I running with this? Sutton didn't have... This is the thing. This is the thing where I do want to make sure we do the right thing when we're talking about Bob Sutton. Bob Sutton did not have a treasure trove of talent last year, but he also didn't work very well with what he had. He didn't adapt very well at all. He spent too much time trying to make Daniel Sorensen a linebacker. This is the problem that I had with Bob Sutton, the reason that I was 100% on board with him being canned after last season. I think he 100% deserves a good chunk of the blame. I do think he'll manage better with more talent, but so would I. So I'm hesitant to give too terribly much credit to Bob Sutton for any of those reasons. Wade mentioned Travis Kelce's talking about how they can win it with Patrick Mahomes. Kelce said some very nice things about Mahomes. He might have said some more things today, but most of today was I saw some of his stuff with Dan Patrick. And he was also on with Sorin today, wasn't he? I think he was. I didn't hear that. Not a company man. Boop, boop, boop. But that was my sound of not being a company man. Actually, like Pac-Man dying would have been funnier, but I couldn't acapella that. I don't need the. I don't need any sound effects for Beard's gonna eventually. Beard's gonna drop him with a sound effect. Anyway, a lot of Kelsey's stuff was about. Oh, I didn't want to. I didn't want to see Smith gone. I'm sorry to hear that he's out. I, you know, whatever. I think Travis Kelce is trying to not parade around with his new girlfriend right after the divorce. Not literally. Although Travis Kelce did say on the Dan Patrick Show today that he has a girlfriend. I don't know who that is. I don't know if that's a girl from Catching Kelce or if that's just a human female that we don't know of. But he used the word girlfriend and my antenna went up because that's something that I care about apparently. Don't know why. But I definitely was like, oh, is that public knowledge? Anyway, Travis Kelce has not been divorced that I know of. But he's been quarterback divorced. And so the day after the papers get signed, whatever, it, you know, just a very amicable split. I understand not wanting to go out and be like, oh, yeah, no, listen, I mean, my now, I guess Alex can be a oh, man, what is the word for whenever it can be a, like a boy's name or a girl's name? I don't think I want to call it an androgynous name, but that also kind of works. Now, all the words I'm coming up with are not really what I'm looking for. I was going to say Alex could also be a woman's name. So the like the little bit I was going to do wasn't really going to work. It was just going to be very confusing as opposed to this beautiful radio I've done in the last 45 seconds. But I think that was a large part of why Kelce wasn't more excited about Mahomes. Once he starts catching passes from Patrick Mahomes in training camp, and maybe even before then, I think he's going to be not at all hard-pressed to praise Pat Mahomes. And am I good? Did I add that? Is that all of the... I think I nailed all the comments at one point or another. Although we have forced Juan to create a Twitter, though, apparently, because he said he doesn't know where to send the picture.
Yep. He has followed me, at least.
He follows you and not me,
no,
I'm
going to
block him. Okay.
Also, RJ sent us an Instagram picture of apparently Kelsey's girlfriend.
Okay. I'm going to open. Okay. Yep. It's a woman.
I was assuming.
Yep. I just was verifying. I'm verifying. She has 87,000 Instagram followers. Also, her avatar is her with like a money phone. Entertainment journalist, on-air host, NBA. Huh? Does she? Okay. I guess I shouldn't read her Instagram bio in silence while we're live. You know what? I'll break some radio rules. It's okay. The real shame here is this obviously was public knowledge because there's pictures of them. Get your microphone away from the fan. I hate that bit so much. If you're just joining us, I'm doing the detective work of trying to find the earliest picture of Travis Kelce appearing in her Instagram posts so we know how real it is. I got November 2017 confirmed Travis Kelce picture. Oh, even before that. Yes! That's very good work by you. There's a picture of just his face from July 24th. Is this the Catching Kelce winner?
I feel like I remember hearing that they're not together. I don't think that lasted long.
Yeah, isn't that stunning that apparently reality TV love doesn't hold up?
What?
I'm Googling Catching Kelce winner. There's an article from the Kansas City Star from January 3rd that they broke up. Thank you for the perfect music track, Beards. I cannot, for the life of me, remember what the plan was for this segment before all of that. Okay, hold on. So I have gotten the image from Juan. He says, so he has a big old chalkboard. And it's got two sections that say girls and boys with a bunch of numbers and then also Royal Rumble and also hashtag TB12, hashtag GOAT. and Rowdy Rousey and another, I don't know what that is. But also in the corner of the chalkboard, it does say ESPN KC Coke Tally. And it's at 11. So
I think we're at 11 then.
I feel pretty good about that. I'm willing to make one the official arbiter of how many days in a row we've mentioned cocaine.
I second that. It's unanimous.
That was my gavel. I just hit the phone on the console. It wasn't the sound that I wanted it to make, honestly. Was that better? That was the microphone on the console. Oh no, now the microphone will go back to where it was. I don't know. I don't know what I expected to happen. Seamus tweeted, I've heard rumblings almost entirely sport with that JB Briscoe is not the best show in between 4 and 6 p.m. That's what rumblings will do to you. Rumblings will just lie. Not only are we the best show from 4 to 6 p.m. according to my rumblings, we're the best show from 4 to 6 p.m., the second best show from 4 to 6 p.m. according to some guy with a blog. We're number 4. We're number 4. We're number 4. We're number 4. Also, we're very appropriate amounts of quiet. For fear of being shushed.
Yeah!
Shh! You're listening to Almost Entirely Sports.
I think we had a Patrick Mahomes jersey over in the 810 studio.
We did. I know we
I don't
did.
Know what's happened to that.
Shh.
Oh, I'm sorry.
It was a medium, so I'm currently on a starvation diet so I can fit into it.
With Joshua Briscoe.
I mean,
we had a Patrick Mahomes jersey that just disappeared? Ooh, spooky.
On ESPN Kansas City.
Still haven't found that, have they? What a shame. By the way, the starvation diet, not going super well.
Unrelated, of course.
Yeah, not me. Also, do you have any idea how to clear your Google searches? I don't want anybody from the station to see my search for how to expand NFL jersey two sizes. Magic? Question mark? It hasn't worked yet. A couple of tweets that I thought were interesting, I guess the first one's not really interesting, it's just a thing, and then an interesting one about the AFC and the quarterback situation in the AFC. First, though, Noah tweeted me earlier today. He said, let's calm down, Josh. He's played one, he being Mahomes, he's played one regular season NFL game. Let's wait till next season before you get too excited. I will not. I will do no such thing. I am excited now. Also, there are a couple of people that tweeted about the trying to find the best five or six quarterbacks in the AFC for next year. And it's wild. So I first, of course, sent out a list, Ryan Mahomes at one. But seriously, for a moment, who are the six best quarterbacks in the AFC right now? And let's not include guys who have only played one NFL game, because we'll do that in a second. But it's Brady, Roethlisberger, Andrew Luck, I think for me, Deshaun Watson, Phillip Rivers, Derek Carr. Oof. Now, I guess, you know, Kirk Cousins could swoop in and get himself above Carr, maybe Rivers, maybe. Yeah, I guess he would. A couple of those other teams in the AFC are going to draft guys. And I don't think that Patrick Mahomes is going to have a better season next year than Tom Brady or Ben Roethlisberger or Andrew Luck or Deshaun Watson.
Hey, haven't you seen, though? Brady's an injury risk this year. Scratches on hands, bites by dogs.
By the way, the bite from the dog was like years ago, apparently. He has a scar on his leg, not a current open wound. Really takes some of the juice out of the story.
It does. Never mind.
Yeah.
Gosh.
Baby.
Fake news.
Fake baby drama Tom Brady. But seriously, though, like Roethlisberger is visibly declining. Andrew Luck might not be able to throw a football. Philip Rivers is 1,000 years old, it's a really good time to have a young up-and-coming quarterback in the AFC. A really good time. And it also, I can't believe, by the way, I didn't mention this until the last, I guess, 45 seconds of the show today. The idea that you would use today to have the conversation about Patrick Mahomes, oh, I did it again. Excuse me. Alex Smith was the highest rated passer in football. Are you sure you want to trade him? Yeah, I am sure. I can't imagine how you get to that point. I don't know how you watch 17 games of Chiefs football and see the very best of Alex Smith and still go, you know what, the team as it is? That's fine. This is good. Let's do this again. Are you kidding me? Cap space. New corner. New quarterback. I'm so ready. I am so mad that it's January. I'm ready for training camp. We'll at least talk about it more tomorrow, I guess. Happy Mahomes Day. Bye, Mom.
You're listening to Almost Entirely Sports with Joshua Briscoe on ESPN Kansas City.
Mahomes!